Let's get ready to rumble!
Alright, so today we're going to be talking about game theory. And what it is, what it's used for, kind of how it started, and the breakthroughs that have happened over the years. So game theory, what is it exactly? Game theory is a branch of mathematics that deals with the analysis and strategies behind competitive situations where the outcome of one participant's choice is dependent on the actions of another participant. So kind of in layman's terms, game theory is a way to quantify a decision that you want to make based on somebody else's choices that have already been made. Game theory has a vast array of uses, from simple games such as tic-tac-toe, checkers, chess, all the way up to military applications when making decisions whether or not to launch missiles, nuclear weapons, or to attack a specific installment of some kind. There are also other fields that it's used in, mainly economics and finance, where you want to maximize your profits, say in the stock market. You don't know exactly what the stocks are going to do, but game theory helps to analyze what the trends are and what future outcomes might be, so you can say sell your stock or buy stock at a determined value where either you get the best value for it or you get the most return out of your investment. Other things that game theory is used for, sports, different management situations in business, and other such business and managerial applications. So how did this all start? Who came up with game theory and how did they come up with it? So how it started in the beginning, the first documented case of somebody calculating a strategy was a guy by the name of James Walgrave, the first Earl of Walgrave. He was born in 1684 and he provided us with the first actual recorded history of a strategy solution for a matrix game. So basically, he was the first person in recorded history to come up with a written, calculated solution for a game. The game that he came up with, that he was able to calculate this winning strategy for, was called Les Her. And he came up with this game with a friend of his called Pierre Raymond de Montmartre. In 1713, basically the game is played with two people. The two people are called Peter and Paul. It begins with Peter dealing Paul a single card at random from a ordinary deck of cards. So ace, king, queen, and so on. Then he deals a single card to himself. Neither player sees the cards dealt to each other. And the object of the game is to be the person that has the highest value of the card at the end of the game. So Paul, he looks at his card, and if he's not satisfied, he can force Peter to exchange cards with him to try to get a higher value card. Then, if Peter is still not satisfied with the card after he has exchanged, he is permitted to exchange that card with a card in the deck at random. Then the two players compare cards, and the person with the highest card wins. So that's how it's played, and James Walgrave was able to calculate a winning strategy for this. To kind of give a short explanation of what he was able to calculate to give a winning strategy, is he kind of collaborated with Nicholas Bernoulli and was able to come to the conclusion that if Paul is dealt a 7 or less, then he should exchange. But if he's dealt a 7 or higher, then he should keep his card. And this was what they concluded as a winning strategy. So if you want to test this out, play the game for yourself, look up the rules in more depth, and decide for your own if this strategy actually works. If you use this strategy and it does work, great. If not, find out what you think would be a better strategy. All right, moving on. the 1700s was a long time ago, and James Waldegrave did have some great ideas. But what has come about with game theory in the modern time? So, who we credit as the father of modern game theory is a man by the name of John von Neumann. So, John von Neumann was a professor at Princeton University, where most of the major breakthroughs of game theory have come out of in the past 100 years. John and his colleagues delved into game theory in hopes to end World War I, which was going on at the time when he was there and was a great and terrible thing. And they tried to come up with things that could help end the war for the United States and the rest of the world. In his efforts, he was able to help aid with the war effort. And we know that World War I ended with the Armistice Agreement not much after his work was published. But what he didn't know is that the application of game theory would have so many more areas and fields of study that would benefit from it, namely economics. But I'll talk about the applications of game theory to economics in just a bit. But I first want to talk about the next breakthrough with game theory, and it came by way of a man named Alan Turing during World War II. In World War II, the Nazis had a code machine that was very famous and was thought to be unbreakable. This code machine goes by the name of Enigma, and it had over 500 million different combinations in it, where you would punch in a message and you would set it to different settings and it would spit out what seemed to be random letters. And you could send it across a telegram and the other person on the other side could decipher it. But to everyone else that was listening in, it was just random jumbled up letters. Well, this was a problem for the Allied forces. And Germany and the Nazis were marching all over Europe and no one could stop them. Alan Turing was recruited to help break Enigma and was brought to Bletchley, which was a secret facility that was covertly hid as a radio factory. During his time there, he was able to break Enigma by way of a machine that he created called Christopher. Christopher would later come to be known as the first computer, or artificial intelligence. This was a great and huge breakthrough for game theory because this was an actual machine calculating what would happen in certain situations and how to make a winning strategy of it. Because this was huge for the Allies and was a great tool in order to win World War II. And not only did it help end the war, but what would life be like without computers nowadays? Literally everything is run with computers. We have them in our hands. We have them in our pockets. You know, we carry them around in our backpacks. Everything is run with computers. So Alan Turing not only helped advance game theory, helped end the World War II, but has changed the course of the world forever. Okay, so now reversing gears and going back to how game theory affected the field of economics. So John von Neumann first created it to help with the war effort in World War I. Well, later he found applications for economics, and he was accredited with saying something to the lines of, you know, economics is doing the best thing for yourself. Kind of like, you know, survival of the fittest wins. And that was what was taken as gospel for most of the early 1900s into the 1950s. Then comes along a man by the name of John Nash, who again at Princeton University added his name to a great list of people who have benefited the world with the application of game theory. John Nash was a PhD student at Princeton University trying to come up with an original idea to get him this great grant at the Wheeler Research Labs. Well, he tried lots of different things and couldn't come up with anything. Well, one thing that he did enjoy was going to the local bar. And at the bar, he was not the greatest with the ladies, so he would most of the time end up going home alone. Well, his colleagues gave him a lot of hard times and would always try to get girls to talk with him and so they could get a good laugh out of it. But this one, John had an epiphany about how to maximize his chances with women. So he was confronted by a colleague, say, hey, look, there's this girl across the way. She's kind of giving you the eye. Go talk to her. Well, John, being the genius that he was, came up with a strategy on the spot to win. Well, what he did was he thought, if we all go for the hottest girl of the group, she's going to turn everybody down because she holds all the power, and she'll just turn everyone down. And so the next step is everyone goes for her friends. Well, her friends don't like that because they don't want to be the second choice. So they get shot down again. Well, what he came up with is like, well, what if we don't go after the main girl? What if we just go after her friends first? Now her friends don't feel left out and they don't feel like the second choice. And so we all get laid tonight. Well, this idea that he thought of at a bar sparked his original idea, which he came up with, which we now call the Nash Equilibrium. Basically, it built off what John von Neumann said was, you know, you do whatever is best for yourself. Well, John Nash kind of felt that was an incomplete thought, where what he came up with was you do what's best for yourself and the group. So everybody ends up winning or getting laid that night. But this is what people use in economics as the Nash equilibrium, as the optimum point of value, where you sell or you buy stocks and many other applications that it's used for. And consequently, John Nash won a Nobel Prize for his work in this field of game theory and economics. If you're interested in learning more about Alan Turing or John Nash, the Hollywood version of their story is available. Alan Turing was memorialized in a movie called The Imitation Game, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And great movie. And John Nash was memorialized in a movie made a couple years back called A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe. Both great movies. Both have great ideas about game theory and its applications and the developments that they were able to come up with through the years. So if you're interested, check those out. But I'll be signing off tonight. It's been great talking to you guys. Game theory, it rocks. Go check it out.